The success of the Pierros on the racetrack continued this week. On Friday, we saw an impressive winner at Geelong, filly by the name of Gaelic Dream. Of course, Piero stands at Coolmore Stud, and Sebastian Hutch joins us on the show this morning. How are you, Sebastian?
Morning, Jill. How are you?
Very well. Must be pleasing to see the Pierros continue to have the success they do. Of course, he sired two Derby winners and an Oaks winner last season from his first crop of three-year-olds, and it looks like he's got another nice three-year-old racing in Victoria at the moment, this filly Gaelic Dream.
Yeah, look, she was very impressive on Friday. We'd heard that she was a filly that had shown David, Ben and Tom good ability, but you like to see them go to the races and win as comprehensively as she did. She's obviously got good ability, as we've seen with the Pierros. They tend to improve as they graduate into their three-year-old year. I mean, I suppose from our point of view, what's been exciting for him is that the stock have been so versatile, obviously, as he alluded to. He had two Derby winners and an Oaks winner last year, but he's had stakes winners from 1,000 metres to 2,500 metres and every distance range in between. We've already seen two away for a metres at the start of the season. So that, I suppose, a lot of people when Piero retired are still giving him such a good three-year-old, such a good speed horse, expecting him to be able to get plenty of quick horses. An added string to his bow that he looks equally as capable of getting classic horses, David's filly will end up. It's hard to know, but I suppose at this time of the year, the immediate thought is to turn towards 1,000 guineas and hopefully she can get to a race at that.
Gaelic Dream is the fifth winner since the start of the season for Piero, and he'll now be looking to build on what is already a very imposing stakes winner to runners ratio of 6% as the spring unfolds.
Yeah, look, he was champion first season Zara with his two-year-olds. He was champion second crop Zara with his first crop of three-year-olds. He was third on the three-year-old Zara's list in Australia. Only Snitzel and Fast and Rock had more three-year-old stakes winners in Australia than Piero last year, which is it's a fine achievement in a horse's first crop. Obviously, they get good mares in their first crop, but the longer they're stud, people hone and fine-tune the type of mares that suit them. Nicks start to emerge, so I don't think it's unfair for us to expect that his record is only going to get better and better and better as he progresses through his staying career. And look, he had over 60 three-year-old winners last year. I mean, he had a lot of winners, and he's a lot of nice horses to run from his four-year-olds. The two-year-old crop, his second two-year-old crop performed arguably at least as well as his first two-year-old crop, if not better. I mean, he had a couple of two-year-old stakes winners last year, and he only had one in his first crop, so there's a lot to look forward to from his three-year-olds. You know, any trainee you talk to is very high in the stallion. You know, they sold well. He looks like he's a strong yearling crop. It's obviously not as big in numbers this year as it was the first 2 years. He's two smaller crops last year's and this year's. But he's a big foal crop on the way. You know, he was the first horse booked out on our roster this year. You know, to be perfectly honest with you, we're just extremely lucky to have a horse like him, and it's great for the Australian industry.
Mm. So he stands at Coolmore this season at a fee of $88,000. How have the bookings been, and are there any celebrity mares going his way for the season?
Oh, we were inundated with applications for the horse from after the Magic Millions onwards. I mean, the volume of established top-class breeders that just said, look, I want to go to that horse no matter what. And the quality mares tend to flow on from there. I mean, it's his book, as things stand at the moment, is going to be the who's who of Ben Hill High mares in Australia, really. And that's on the basis that all of the stakes winners from his first crop have Dan Hill in their pedigree. So he's the outcross stallion that every breeder in Australia has been crying out for. And it's reflected in his book. I mean, trying to go through the particulars of it is hard, because it's probably unfair to particular mare owners to single out certain mares, but I can promise you when returns go in at the end of the season, you know, his book will genuinely read as a who's who of the dandelion mares in the country.
I'm not surprised. And to one of your other stallions, Sebastian, American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner. Now, his horses have sold like hotcakes in the US over the past week. What's been happening there?
Yeah, so he was the first Triple Crown winner in the States in 30 7 years, retired to stud to great fanfare in the States and down here. His first yearling crop, members of his first crop had sold well as weanlings. Like, he had a $1 million weanling last November. He had a $1 million short yearling early on in the year, and now he's had $2 million plus yearlings at Saratoga, Fassy Tipton. You know, there were five yearlings that made $1 million or more as a sale, and he sired two of them, which is a fair effort from any first crop stallion. You had a filly make $1.2 million and a colt make $1 million. And, like, given he was such a good horse, it's not unreasonable to expect that there'd be great fanfare around his first progeny. I mean, the thing that's exciting for us and for the people who are expecting foals by the horse in Australia this year is the stock seems to stand up to the greatest scrutiny. You know, the feedback on the stock has been outstanding. There's obviously a big yearling sale in France starting next week. He's represented at that sale. He'll be represented at some of the other European sales. And then Keeneland September sale starts next month. Again, he'll have very strong representation at that sale. It's not unreasonable to expect him to make a big impression there. We already have three foals on the farm by the horse. He's first Australian cropper being born at the moment. He covered great mares last year. And, you know, it's reassuring to the people who backed up and supported the horse last year that the reports are so positive on his first American yearlings. And hopefully he continues to get good looking stuff down
there. Of those foals that you've seen on the ground here in Australia thus far, at this early stage, what would you say are perhaps some of the notable attributes of them?
Oh, it's very early days. I mean, he covered a lot of good mares, and, you know, the mare obviously has a significant role to play in shaping any individual. But from what we were told of his progeny in the States, they're very much, or they tend to inherit very similar characteristics to him in terms of their constitution. He's a horse with an extraordinarily laid-back demeanor. Nothing seems to fluster him, and obviously that was conducive to him embracing the challenges that he faced as a racehorse. And, you know, we see it when he's in Australia that he's a really laid-back character. The first foals in the States seem to have inherited that, and then the other thing is the same fluent, loose-moving gait. You know, he's a beautiful mover, and stock seems to be the same way. It's too early for us to tell in terms of his first foals down here, but, you know, each of them have, you know, same beautiful head that he has, good rich colour. They look athletic, have size and scope, all important features of many prospective racehorses. At this stage, the early signs are very encouraging, but we're obviously hoping that it carries through right the way through the foaling season.
And what else is making news for Coolmore either here or internationally at the moment, Sebastian?
Oh, look, it's a busy time of the year with the racehorses in the Northern Hemisphere. Obviously, the Australian season is only starting to warm up now. But we have a young stallion in Nona Never who's shuttling to Australia again this year. He's the leading first crop sire in Europe at the moment. He's three stakes winners. I think he's up to 17 winners now. He's made extraordinary impression in a short space of time. He's a runner in a Group 1 in Ireland tonight. He looks like his horse is going to be well represented in all the two-year-old sprint races for the balance of the season in Europe. His eldest Australian progeny have just turned into their yearling year, so they'll be at sales from the turn of the year. And, you know, if his performance in Europe is anything to go by, demand for those is going to be very, very strong. And, you know, obviously, we're looking forward to Rubik two-year-olds. All the Rubiks just turned two last week, and the feedback is incredibly positive at this early stage. And they're looking to get too carried away. If the feedback holds true, we're going to have an exciting season with Rubik.
No doubt. Lovely to catch up with you, Sebastian, as always, and I look forward to seeing what Gaelic Dream goes on to do. Are you aware at all of her likely path from this point on?
Oliver, we haven't inquired about it yet. I saw Neil Ware at the races yesterday. I probably should have asked him, but he's a very lucky owner.
He is.
Let's hope his filly is as lucky for him as some of his fears to be in the past. It's probably wishful thinking to think she can go on to be another Black Caviar for him, but it'd be a great result for him if she could.
Oh, would it what? All right, Sebastian, we'll look forward to following her progress in the coming months.
Pleasure. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
No worries. That's Sebastian Hutch from Coolmore joining us on Talking Horses this morning. Piero producing another very good 3-year-old, Gaelic Dream, one to follow.